Welcome to Belief, Being, and Beyond with your host, Granddaughter Crow.
Not timid.
What should I wear?
Do you want 4 outfit changes or 5? What did I just bring?
I love it. Today, I have found for you listeners what I call the light in the dark night of the soul. Owen Dawn is amazing. Her third book is about ready to come out, I believe, in August. Magic, say hi.
Hi, I'm Owen. It's 111 Magic is, and that's because 1 is the beginnings and 11 is kind of rounding out spiritual journey. So it's 111 Magic.
But I love it. So today I really want to kind of talk a little bit about you, about your book, about authorship. I want to start by saying I met Owen at the Coalition of Visionary Resources Award dinner, where we were both sitting in the audience wondering if, you know, we knew that we got nominated for each of our books, and we're sitting there and we both won an award at the INATS, the International Trade Show, which is when I heard that you won your award for, was it the Paganism on Parole? That's the one that you won the...
It's actually my first one, Paganism for Prisoners. It won in the social justice. Back then, I think it was the social justice and eco category, but they've since split those categories up, which I'm excited about.
And I remember you receiving your award, and I was just moved so deeply, which is why I call you the candle, the light in the dark night of the soul, because you are an alchemist. You don't sit there and go, well, life gave me lemons, I'm just going to cry. You're like, oh, no, this is going to be the best lemonade ever, and I'm going to write a book about it.
And a couple more.
Tell us what you do.
Oh, my gosh. I do so many things. So right now I'm in London. I'm getting my master's degree in creative writing. I know. It's so fun. Getting an MFA, you know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, why would you get an MFA in writing? It's just sitting down and writing. But it's actually changed the way I read books and write books and think about books and think about literature and how literature can work and what it means and the subtlety. So it's really expanded that. I do have, my undergrad was in integrative healthcare. So that's where allopathic and holistic medicine kind of meets. It's kind of like you need a doctor, but you should also exercise. So, you know, it's this beautiful little parallel space. And that's what I try to do with my books, is keep them in that space where there's grounding in science, but there's also grounding in magic, because the two work so well together. And I got a certificate as an addiction specialist a few years ago, you know, so I'm kind of a Jill of all trades, but my focus lately has been on writing. So
I love that, a Jill of all trades. I love that. And you're also a high priestess.
I am, yeah.
Paganism, witchery. I love that.
Yeah, it's been an exciting journey, you know, like considering I was sitting in a prison cell, was it 12, 13 years ago now? And I came out, and the first thing I did, you know, I'm like, yeah, I need to get a job. I need to, you know, get through all these hurdles, but let me find a teacher so I can learn about magic, you know? And it was one of the first, and it actually helped keep me from messing up when I was on parole, because I wanted to do something with my life. And it really gave me something to focus on. So I'm really glad that the synchronicities worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what I want to say to the listeners right now is Owen is, she didn't take her dark night of the soul and poor me'd me all to, you know, poor me took it and actually utilized it to become what I call in my first book, the wisdom of a medicine person. We earn our wisdom through the medicine that we carry. We earn our wisdom through our lived experience. And usually that's the dark night of the soul. And so I hope that anybody out there that is going through the dark night of the soul, or maybe the dawn or the evening, the twilight of the soul. Yeah, this is the perfect opportunity that you can connect with the gods and goddesses. What do you think about that?
Well, I definitely, there's a saying I heard many years ago, you know, wisdom is the gift of age. I think it actually comes from a song. It might be by like S.J. Tucker or somebody like that. But, you know, the wisdom is the gift of age. And that always kind of stuck with me, because when I was 20, I didn't believe that. Because when I was 20, like all 20-year-olds, I knew everything, right? Like we all did. Yeah. And, I heard that. And like the older I get, the more I kind of notice how much there is to still learn. And so you really, you're much too kind. You humble me so much with your words. But no, like I've always been kind of the person, I have a lot of things in my past, you know, there's a lot of garbage in there. And I've always like kind of seen it as this thing that makes me stronger. You know, if I can survive that, then like, anything else, I'll make it through. It's fine. Like, it's not going to be that bad. And, you know, it's motivated me in everything that I do. You know, I don't, I can't say never. It recently, you know, since I've grown and matured, I don't see myself as like the kind of person who would go change my past, you know, even that, the ugliest bits of it, because they've shaped me and created me. And I still learn lessons from that stuff. And like when people meet me and eventually find out, you know, about my past, like, really, you were in prison? Oh, you don't seem the type, you know? And I love that, you know, because it challenges that conception, because there's a lot more people who, you know, if you gave people the tools to succeed, would choose to succeed. Unfortunately, not everybody would choose that, but I think a lot of people would.
I agree 100% with this, you know, assumption or whatever, that if somebody gets in trouble, that they are so different than the rest of us or whatever, because I've gone through my dark nights. And I agree with you. They make me strong and they make me wise, and not saying I want any more wisdom, just to clear that up, divine. but to actually know that, you know, people are people. And this is the beauty, is that if you only judge if you have not met your own shadow. And you only separate if you're afraid of your darkness. And you only push away because you're trying to preserve a self-righteous persona or image within yourself. We could do a whole nother podcast on this topic. However, your book, 111 Magic, is coming out, and it's like, you know what I love is it says meditation connects us with the gods and goddesses, and spells connect us with the world and bringing change, and rituals remind us to have gratitude. That's the little thing that's on Llewellyn's website. And I was just like, yeah. A lot of time, and in this book, which I was able to read, and I love, very grounded, practical, reminding us how to actually implement the magic, and that it's not just magic because, oh, I want to be like, you know, Sandra Bullock on, you know, Practical Magic, you know.
But that actually, would be nice.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Mistake me for her. But at the end of the day, we do it for our life, for our journey, for our practicality. I mean, one could argue that it took you to London to get your master's degree.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I believe that magic without the work behind it is, it's kind of an exercise in futility. You know, like, we don't get things without work. We don't. I mean, maybe somebody's super lucky, you know, and like, even if you take the example of, you know, winning the lottery, you had to buy a ticket, you know, that it's, and I see this a lot in our world, and it's actually kind of sad where there's this expectation to, just because we exist, like, everything comes to us. You know, there's some things we should always have as human beings, like water should be free. And, you know, everybody in a perfect world would have a roof over their head, you know, those kinds of things. But if you want to get yourself out of a hole, you're going to have to climb. You're just going to have to, or you can wait for it to flood and hope you don't drown. You can do that. But, you know, I'm a firm believer in the work. Like, it's, I joke with my friends a lot because, you know, we'll compare like what we got done, and I do a ridiculous amount of things during the week. I get more things done in the week than most people do all month. It's, I don't know, it's just the type of person I am. I get very bored, so I do lots of things. But without taking it to that extreme, if you want a new TV, you know, start setting aside, make a space for it in your house, start browsing online, put up those indicators that this is the one I want, you know, do those things that are visual cues, and then put in the physical work behind them, you know. It's and it's so much more satisfying, because you mentioned the work and it bringing me to London, and that was one of the hardest things I ever had to do, was, you know, not just put in the visa application, but go through and spent like 7 months downsizing everything I owned, you know. And so it was work to manifest, to reinforce the magic.
I absolutely love that. And, you know, another thing about the work, it's not just the practical external work. A lot of things that you find, that you'll find in this book, what can you pre-order? I didn't mean to cut myself off, but can you pre-order in a couple of weeks, like mid-April is a pre-order?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you could pre-order now.
Oh, by the time you hear this, check it out.
I think pre-orders happen now.
I love that.
But if I'm wrong, don't come after me. but no, I think you can pre-order now. I hope so, because I've been telling people to pre-order.
Love it. So, absolutely. Well, this is the work. You're putting the indicators out there for the sales. So anyway, what I was going to say, I just got so excited about the release. But what I was going to say is that in this book, it's not just the work that you do externally. A lot of what Awen talks about is self-knowledge, mm-hmm. and self, you know, reflection and self-growth and all of that, which is something that any person should be able to do. That's how we evolve. So can you talk just a little bit about how you view self-reflection, self-knowledge? What is that about? What does that dynamic do in your life or our life?
I think that the key thing, right, is you can kind of gauge where you are in your own spiritual world if you are able to have conversations about things you don't agree with. For me, this has been one of the biggest indicators. We live in a world where you can find anybody who agrees with you on anything, right? You can find hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people who agree with you on something. But for me, the check is always, can I talk with somebody who disagrees with me? And if I can't do that, then that means there's something, that there's a reason for that, that there's something spiritually off. And I need to check why that is. Like, we can hold all the beliefs in the world, but if you can't challenge those, we really don't know what they're grounded in, right? And so my book is a lot about challenging these things that we think we know about ourselves. That's why I have, you know, even some of the simple ones where you get a bunch of friends and you try on different outfits and like maybe it reveals something about yourself. And it's uncomfortable a lot of times. It's okay though. Like we need to be okay with being uncomfortable because you won't die from uncomfortable.
Right.
You'll be fine.
Right.
You know, but being uncomfortable is how you learn, oh, maybe I do like this, or maybe I don't like that, or why has purple always been my favorite color? Or, you know, why do I believe these things? You know, why do I don't want to bring up anything too controversial, but why do I believe, you know, that hummingbirds are the best bird on the planet? You know, was it because my grandma raised them? You know, we have to challenge ourselves and understand the why.
Yeah.
Because social media alone will feed us all kinds of things. And we'll think we're right, especially if we're in that little bubble where all these people agree with me, I must be right. Yeah. But when you can start being like, okay, I'm going to see what the other side has to say. Don't have to agree. Don't have to change my mind. But that ability to question it, that's a key for spiritual health.
I absolutely love it so much, what you just said, that I actually wrote a book about questioning, and it's called Belief, Being, and Beyond, which is also the name of this podcast. And it really is about questioning things. Like, I was brought up in a world where I wasn't allowed to question. I wasn't, don't question authority, don't question the divine, don't question blah, blah, blah. And I got them, and then you're seen and not heard. I was basically programmed to not question, but questions actually lead you to that expansion. And I love that. It's kind of like if a tree once planted as an acorn did not question, what does it look like above ground? That's what we're talking about. That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And growing in that way. I love it. So how can people get into touch with you when you're over the pond?
Well, so I do have a website, awyndawn.com, AWYNDAWN. And there's a contact me form on there. If it's publicity, because we were talking before the podcast how we both love publicity, I do have a publicist. His information is also listed on the site. So that's how you can contact me. I do have an event coming up at the Atlantis Bookshop in September. I know it's such a great bookshop. I'm going to be doing some work from 111 Magic. So, that's a very long answer to your question of how to get a hold of me. Oh, you can also, I always forget about social media. Yeah. Awyn Dawn on Instagram, on X/Twitter. I'm on at Awyn Dawn and Awyn Dawn Official on Facebook. There's a long story as to why the official is on there. But yeah, that's how else you can get a hold of me.
I absolutely love it. And I'm going to put all of that in the comments too, so that you guys don't have to grab a pen and write it really quickly. But that is the perfect answer because, you know, in this fast-paced world, it's really, really wonderful to be able to sit back for a minute and listen to somebody else's story and allow it to encourage and empower you. Whatever you're going through, if she did what she did and then wrote a book about it and now is taking a master's degree in London, what can I do with my life today? What steps can I take with my life today? Is there any last thing that you want to say about 111 Magic or anything like that that teases us to take a copy?
Oh my goodness. I wish I had like my pre-order copy and I could just open it up and read something. But I will say that a lot of it is meant to work in order. You don't have to, of course, but they get progressively more difficult as you go. So the first chapter talks about creating safe space and, you know, grounding and centering. And, you know, so if you're new and you're not used to magic, you know, it kind of eases you in. And then some of them get very, very deep. You know, there's some exercises in there where you really have to sit. Like, I think there's one where, in fact, I know there's one where I have you break out of a blanket, you know, to get used to being uncomfortable, because we're very comfortable in the world. We have air conditioners, we have heaters, we have cabs, we have public transport. Like, we really don't have to be uncomfortable for very long, but being uncomfortable, right? Being uncomfortable teaches us like what ways we can wiggle and grow. And it really makes us, it makes us kind of tougher in a way, you know, and, but still able to hold that, that compassionate candle, you know? So, I would say that if you're looking for exercises that are challenging, that there's a lot of meditations that when I wrote them, I was like, wow, that's really good. Because I'm always surprised. I'm like, wow, that's really good. When you're talking about my book, I'm like, oh, did I write that? Is that in there? But there's a lot of, rituals and meditations that aren't just going to be your basic cookie cutter, you know, love spell or sunny day spell, or like, there's some stuff in there that's going to help you do some work. You know, if you want to grow, if you want to leave behind the garbage of your past, this book is a good tool. I want to be careful and make sure everybody know it can't do it for you, right? It's not going to magically fix you, right? But it will give you tools to continue that process and to do that work, because it's a lifelong effort. Like, just in the 18 months that I've been in London, I'm different than I was a couple years ago. And I imagine in 2 years, I'm going to be completely different than I am now. And that's the beauty of 111 Magic, is it's this cyclical. It's the cyclical thing where you don't get to an end point and you're done. You get to an end point and you're like, okay, what's next?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I love that. It's because, we're lotus flowers and we continuously unfold. And when we think that we've arrived, take a deep breath, because the next dose is coming.
It's through that experience of learning how tough we are, how much of survivors, how powerful we are.
Yeah. And that is part of the wisdom of being able to go, life is difficult, and that doesn't mean that it's personal, but it gives me the opportunity to self-discover, to get strong, to be out there in the world, and I absolutely love it. So thank you so much, Awen. It has been a joy, and What I would like to say is thank you again for watching and listening to this episode of Belief, Being, and Beyond with your host, Granddaughter Crow. Please review. That helps a lot. Like, comment, and share. Thank you. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.